and welcome to the third edition of the Buy Them In MFC podcast. Tonight I'm joined by two regulars, Jay and Busta, and unfortunately no one else. We had a cancellation due to sickness. We had some technical issues last night, so it's just the usual trio, unfortunately. But how are we guys anyway?
Yeah, not bad. Doing good.
Very good, thank you.
Well, no game this weekend, but still plenty of talking points around Fir Park. No managerial appointment, but today a statement from the club. Due to the uncertainty over future ownership, Kenny Black will be in charge, basically until that issue is resolved. Jay, it was good that the club gave us a wee bit of clarity, but it's clear that things aren't moving quite as quickly as they would hope.
Well, no, not at all, but you know, I think we've got to be patient in the situation we're in. I think, you know, it was mentioned in the podcast either 2 weeks ago or last week, you know, the idea of Kenny Black hanging around for a few weeks or a few months. So I think we kind of expected something along those lines. It's not often you do get that kind of chat. Normally you just assume that, you know, the caretaker manager will be there for a game or two and then the new manager will come in. But the fact that we were even talking about it shows that it was a definite possibility. You know, whatever's best for the club, I think we have to be patient. There's no need for us to go ahead and appoint a new manager. 2 weeks, to me, isn't a massive amount of time anyway. You know, we've only had one game during that time. But if we have to wait until December, possibly even January, to get the right man in, if that's what the club thinks best, then I'm happy to be patient because I don't really see the point in rushing into anything. And Kenny's obviously shown against Dundee United that he's capable of winning his games. So I think we can be quite comfortable with things just now. There's no reason to be particularly, you know, panicky about the statement.
Buster, I think Jay's raised a really good point there. This perhaps is an opportunity now for Kenny Black to lay down a marker and show that he could perhaps be a replacement for Stuart McCall. I know that McCall brought him to Fir Park, so you would have to imagine if a new man comes in, then Black's time at Fir Park is going to come to an end. So he's fighting for a job now.
You're right, yeah. I don't think that anybody would put Kenny Black down as their first choice, to be honest with you. But, you know, if he gets a couple of games in charge, you know, pulls out a few wins, that it could change a lot of people's minds and it could work out well for him.
Just looking at the statement in a wee bit more detail there, 50-odd applicants for the position spread across 20 different nationalities. Certainly, the job has attracted a lot of interest, as we suspected it would have done. In terms of the bookmakers, they're making Derek Adams a favourite now, 1-2 favourite. The thing is, I suppose, Billy Stark was the favourite last week and he's nowhere to be seen now. So I don't know if you can read too much into that. My opinion on Adams, didn't particularly like him as a player at Motherwell, certainly didn't like him as a manager. I think he comes across very poorly in the media too. Jay, for me, is one that I would prefer avoiding.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think there's two sides to it, I think. As a manager, I don't think he's been greatly impressive. You know, he had his spell at Ross County where he's brought them up and, you know, did well in the SPL at the time. But I think he leaves a bit to be desired. I don't think he's really, you know, broke any records or really established himself as, you know, a fantastic young Scottish manager. He's an average manager, I think, at best. Then when you factor in, you know, I mean, when he was a Motherwell player, I didn't, you know, I thought he was all right. I thought he did a job. He was very much the kind of player that is normally targeted by Boo Boys at Fir Park, you know, the job who's given the sort of the behind-the-scenes work. In fact, one of my most embarrassing moments of a Motherwell fan, I think it was Dunfermline we were possibly playing when Derek Adams gave away a foul and the Motherwell support started chanting off. It's funny to sort of discuss it now, but at the time I just remember being completely embarrassed to be a Motherwell fan at that time. So I think he did get a hard deal as a player, but it's only since becoming a manager that and he's obviously been in the public eye. I mean, you're right, he just does not come across as a particularly good guy. I mean, he doesn't come across as the kind of guy you would go for a pint with or even want to sort of interact with, which isn't really what you should be saying about the manager of a football club, particularly a manager of Motherwell. You know, the last few years we've had managers, particularly with Mickle, where there's been that proper dynamic with the fans. And I think Derek Adams, you know, not a particularly great record. You know, he's not did anything fantastic. And if he was to come in, I think you would find that if he didn't hit the ground running, if he didn't win the first couple of games, the fans would completely tear him to shreds. And I think it would just be an utter disaster from start to finish. And I think the only reason he can kind of be the favourite now is purely because the bookies don't have a clue. And I think it's purely he's an ex-player, he's a Scottish manager and he's out of work. And I think that's really the only reason behind it.
Buster, I read a stat in Adams last week about his summer signings at Ross County. He made 10 signings during the summer, four of whom were released last week. None of them started the last Scottish Premiership match against Kilmarnock. He's got a bit of a reputation of making wholesale changes at football clubs, and quite often they've not worked out for him. It'd be a huge risk to appoint someone that has quite a reputation for making such sweeping changes, especially given our current league position.
You're right there, but I think that over the last few seasons, come the end of the year, we've had to make quite a lot of changes anyway. Except for maybe this year where we didn't have as much, but again, as you said, he's not got much success in it, so it's not something that I would fancy him, you know, being able to actually pull off. Again, like yourselves, I don't really fancy him either. I think that the only thing he's got going for him is he's got a bit of managerial experience. Everybody else has been, you know, mentioned. They might have some somewhere, but, you know, he's the only one that we've actually seen anything of.
Yeah, it's interesting times. And another interesting story from last week was the London-based consortium looking to take ownership of Motherwell Football Club. It seemed to kind of grow arms and legs with Roberto Solano being at the Dundee United game last Friday. It was claimed that he would be the manager if this consortium took charge. Motherwell would be basically used as a breeding ground for South American football and talent. Jay, there's been a lot of bizarre stories in and around Fir Park over recent times. I would say this one was right up there with the best of them, though.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, it's quite a ridiculous story. And these kind of things crop up all the time, you know, nowadays, particularly when, you know, you're now in the era of football where you've got transfer windows. So a lot of the time when the transfer window's closed, there needs to be other things to talk about. There needs to be these outrageous stories to keep people interested. So you normally hear these kind of things. But you said yourself, the fact that he was at the game does kind of lend itself a little more credit, and I'd be really worried about it. I noticed that on the likes of Twitter and Facebook, a few Motherwell fans had kind of taken well to the idea, you know, kind of getting caught up with the glamour of these possible future Messis and Tevezes coming to Fir Park. But what you've got to remember is what we would be essentially doing is setting Motherwell up as a shop window or a catwalk for these players. Again, you look at the Tevez and Mascherano situation down south. I think you've got to be dubious about the reasons behind it. I think the people coming in would either be standing to make a profit from selling on these players or would be in business with others who would be making profit off of these players. Nobby Solano's pretty much his entire remit would be to play these players regardless of how it affected, you know, the team lineup and results. I think we would basically be jeopardising all interests of our club purely for, you know, a bit of glamour of seeing some, you know, Peruvian or Argentinian players at Fir Park. And for me, it's just not worth it at all. It's a bit of a ridiculous story, but it does give me the fear a little bit, the fact that Nobby Solano was at the game. So hopefully this is one scenario that we can stay well clear of.
Buster, a lot of the counter-arguments to this consortium taking over was it would mean the club was lost to the community. I've said before, I don't believe that's really the case, given the amount of people that leave Motherwell to go and watch Rangers and Celtic regularly. Kind of almost suggests to me that the club has been lost to the community, despite some great seasons in recent years. Our crowds have never went up. On the odd occasion, we will get a turnout, but they won't come back the next week. It's It's almost a kind of fair weather fan type approach. It's now the time for the Welsh Society to either raise this money and keep the club in the community, or they're going to have to accept defeat. The statement last week, for me, didn't really say very much. The initial target was £800,000. It now appears to be more than that by the end of November. I don't think that we've got the fan base to raise that amount of money. I don't think Motherwell's an affluent enough place to have businessmen that are going to pump that amount of money in. It's quite concerning times, and this kind of the finances are very much under a great deal of scrutiny just now.
Well, I think you've said everything really that, you know, I would myself say, starting with the club being part of the community. The club are obviously trying very hard to become part of the community, but the fact is, the community that the club are involved with is the 5,000 people at most that come every week. You know, there's no one else really interested. You're not going to change somebody's mind. And if you do, it's going to be one or two people. I suppose it's a start, but, you know, these people who live in Motherwell or the surrounding areas are being brought up to support teams by their family. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but it doesn't do us any good. The Welsh Society, as well, as you say, is, you know, the money, they've quite clearly says that the £800,000 mark, sorry, that's changed. Somebody's moved the goalpost somewhere. I couldn't tell you why or who or when, but it doesn't seem viable at all to me, in all honesty.
Yeah, Jay, I think there was quite a bit of frustration at that Welsh Society statement. It almost was releasing a statement to say very little. I know we have been rather critical of the Society in past podcasts, but stuff like this doesn't really help, does it?
Well, no, I mean, you're right. I mean, especially in the first podcast, I had a bit of a rant about the Welsh Society. It's not that I have anything against the Welsh Society. I don't have anything against anybody involved. In fact, you know, although I've not been paying my £50 annual fee because I don't think it's worth it, I did pay my £300 pretty much right at the start. So I still look at myself as a member of the Welsh Society, and I do want it to succeed. But there are too many mistakes. There are too many silly mistakes. That's my issue. At the end of the day, you know, a lot of people are giving up their own free time to do this, and they've got the best interests of Motherwell at heart, and that's great. But there comes a time where you need to look at the little mistakes, you know, the lack of communication, the failure to give people the option to pay monthly, you know, the way the applications are even held. I mean, even this last week, Welsh Society members have been invited to vote for the next board member. And the way the application process is done is basically to give people a questionnaire, ask them to fill it out, you know, name, age, that kind of thing. And then at the end, simply ask, you know, why should you be on the board? It's pretty standard. You get it in job applications. You get it for many other things. But the difference with other things is they give an idea of what they're looking for, or they give, you know, a character or word count. What the Welsh Society seem to do is just leave it up to the individual. So I remember getting the first batch of applications for, you know, the very first board, and reading the first one, and someone had obviously spent, you know, maybe an hour or two coming up with this perfect paragraph of why they should be in the Welsh Society board, and then the next person had just copied and pasted 5 pages of their CVs. So at that very moment, I decided, I'm not going to vote in this because it's completely unfair. There's no way for me to make a genuine decision based on what is basically just a completely unfair amount of information dependent on what that particular person decided to copy and paste into the wee box. So there's so many small problems, that's my issue, that it's hard not to be frustrated by it. You know, the whole point of the Welsh Society is to get people on board. It's been mentioned earlier in the podcast, it's not an affluent area. You know, we're talking about post-industrial Motherwell. You can't be asking people for £300 with no option to pay monthly. I think that only came in after a year or two after people pointed out that it was a nonsense not having that. So I think the whole thing has been spectacularly, messed up, because I think that, okay, I understand that you need to have a target, and you can't put the price too low, because then if people join up at that price, you won't reach the target. But if you completely price your average fan out of the market and then proceed to make these silly errors and frustrate people, then nobody's going to come and join. And the statement that you're talking about just kind of backed up everything, my feelings towards the Welsh Society. I started, the day believing that we needed to raise £800,000 because that's what we'd been, told constantly. I was under the impression that once we'd reached the targets required, then the shares would be transferred and everything, we could then move into this new model of fan ownership. And then by the end of the statement, I'd found out that we needed to raise more than £800,000, but no idea why. And, there was some stuff in there about how there then had to be negotiations to make sure that things were okay with X, Y, and Z. And it just felt as though, statements are meant to give you clarification, they're meant to explain things. And I felt as though I had a million more questions after I read the statement than I did before. And to me, that kind of just summed up the whole sort of debacle that has been the Welsh Society.
Yeah, I've said it before. I don't even know now whether having a representative of the club being in charge of the administration for the Welsh Society, whether that's now a conflict of interest. That's how kind of convoluted the lines have got between the society and club ownership. But what we must say is, and we're trial run last night, we talked about it, we're not out to get anyone in the Welsh Society. We do appreciate that it's people, in some cases, travelling huge distances to go to meetings and everything else of their own time and their own free will. It's just when it's such as issues as big as it is just now, really, I believe that there should be a few full-time representatives on it, because it could be a matter of life or death for the football club.
I would actually just like to hear somebody give me the positive things about it, to be honest with you, because, as I say, we're not getting at them fair dues, but I don't actually see anything that's been done that is positive. All I'm hearing is, oh, sorry, we can't do this now, we need this, we need that. I would like to hear somebody come out and tell me what's actually being done.
Yeah, that sounds pretty reasonable. Looking ahead to Saturday, we return to Premiership action. We're up at Inverness. Inverness have had a fantastic start to the season. I was very sceptical that John Hughes was the right man for the job up there, but he's certainly proven me wrong. They're right up there at the top of the table. They won the last time out 4-2 against Hamilton. Jay, it'll be a tough game, but given that we're on the back of a very good win ourselves against Dundee United, we'll travel up there with more confidence than we would have, certainly, prior to that United game.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'll be heading up for the game. Buster will be going as well. And I think if you'd asked us before that Dundee United game, it would have been far more about the trip. It would have been going up, for the train journey up, obviously going to support the team, and then for a night out in Inverness afterwards. Whereas I think we can come up with a little more confidence. Not only has the Dundee United results showing that we are capable of getting results and showing that determination that was lacking earlier in the season, I think it also shows that Kenny Black is prepared to make changes when they're required. He's, he did make those tactical changes that I asked whether he would do in the first podcast. He played Ramsden at defensive midfield, which I don't think any of us expected, and yet it was a success. And I think the fact that, those extra 2 weeks, at the last podcast, it was mentioned, would the international break be a good or a bad thing? And I think it would probably be a good thing. I think, Kenny will have spent the last 2 weeks as manager, and he will be able to, stamp the way he wants to play a bit more on the players, get them more into his way of thinking, and hopefully we'll see that on Saturday. But yeah, it's one of those games where Inverness are doing really well this season. I think it's partly because they have been playing well, but I think you've also got to recognise that the likes of your Aberdeens and your Celtics haven't, and obviously ourselves, haven't really played as well as we have done the last few seasons. So I think that, although they are doing well, I don't think we've got anything to fear by going up there. And I think if we show the same determination as we did against Dundee United, then there's no reason why we can't come away with a result.
Buster, I believe that the United game, we got that wee bit of luck that had been evading us over the majority of the season. Results like that can can change the complexion of your season. Suddenly there's a wee bit of positivity, albeit there is a fair bit of uncertainty off the park. But that bodes well going into Saturday's game at a ground that we've got a fairly good record at as well.
Well, any time I've been up, we've always had a good result. I think the last time I was up was a couple of years ago, and I think we won 5-1 or something like that. But as you said, it's a completely different team. Last year when they appointed John Hughes, I had a bit of a giggle, to be honest with you. I think even then I was Dundee United at one point where I weighted them, even money, and I was making a fortune. But this season they seem to have done really well. Fair play to John Hughes. Whether or not we'll get a result, I don't know, but it'll be good, as you say, we trip up there, wee bit of confidence in behind us, and it'll be good to see what happens.
Just take a quick minute to look at the international game. Scotland with a fantastic 1-0 victory over the Republic of Ireland on Friday evening. It's been quite strange, hasn't it, Jay? Because normally we dread the Scotland games and look forward to the Motherwell games, but it's slightly reversed this season.
Well, that's it, exactly. It's like the eternal curse of being both a Scotland and a Motherwell manager. Supporter. You don't get the chance to be successful at, you know, both at the same time. But yeah, you're right. It's Scotland have been fantastic, particularly on Friday night. I thought we were great, battled away. It was a fantastic goal. But yeah, it's a bit of a calm down. It's you know, you're right. I remember being sort of, you know, in Prague for the 4-6-0 shambles and other results with Scotland where we've lost, and then you've really looked forward to the Motherwell game to go see some good football. And it's quite a turnaround, the fact that, you know, the Motherwell game is now the come down to what is an excellent Scotland side.
Buster, we did a quick straw poll on the Twitter page about the best or your favourite Motherwell player to also pull on a Scotland jersey. A poorly worded question that basically just turned into a James McFadden love-in. That just gives us a few minutes to talk about James McFadden, doesn't it?
Certainly does. And after the goal on Friday night as well, people were saying it's one of the best Scotland goals they've seen. But I noticed there was a guy on Twitter who said it's not better than this one, and it was McFadden's against Macedonia. And to be fair, I have to agree with him. That was magnificent, that goal that day. That James McFadden basically is a hero, and it's pretty upsetting that he's not going to get to that 50 caps mark.
Yeah, we can live in hope, but it doesn't look like he'll ever kind of hit the heights that he previously did, unfortunately. Guys, I think that's about all we've got time for this week. I think we should end by saying we are still looking for people to guest on the podcast. If you fancy doing it, just get in touch with us and we'll get something sorted out. Until then, we'll be back next Sunday for a review of the Inverness game. Hopefully Jay and Buster will be sober enough to actually record it. Until then, thanks and goodbye.